Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'm going to go over some variable speed pump tips. I'll go over the speeds you should set it at, and if you should adjust it or not in the winter and summer, some ways to optimize your variable speed pump. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. Because of the new Department of Energy regulations, which kind of mandates variable speed pumps or maybe a two-speed pump, you can't really have a pump that's over 1 horsepower now. There's some exemptions and there's some pumps that qualify still, but I think everyone's going to have to move to a variable speed pump. So I get a lot of questions about, you know, what to set the pump at, what's the optimal runtime, and things of this nature. If you have one installed or if you have a pool built with it, typically the builder will just program one speed or keep it on high speed for you. And some pumps have, you know, preset speeds already from the factory. Hayward and Jacuzzi, those pumps come with like a preset runtime. I believe the Superflow from Pentair also comes at preset runtimes. And so you have to kind of check to see if you do have some factory default runtimes built into the pump, which can be nice if you're not familiar with how to set it up and program it. But typically, you want to optimize the pump for your pool to save as much energy and to make it actually effective in your pool. One of the biggest things that when they first came out on the market, and I didn't like the variable speed pumps because I think mainly because they were set so low and I didn't really understand the settings that much. And so I wouldn't really change them. And so a lot of my pools that had them, which was very few of them when they first came out, I think 2 or 3, it would be set like at 1200 or 1400 RPMs. And then it wouldn't, you know, move anything on the surface. And maybe there was a high speed set for, you know, 2000 RPMs and it just wouldn't move the surface and just look really bad. And so I've learned a lot since then, since they first came out, how to set them, the best optimal programming and things like that. So the first thing I think you need to know is that if you have a standalone variable speed pump, there's an on off or start stop button on there. And this is an important thing to be aware of. So if you were to hit stop on it, you have to hit start again, or on off, you have to hit on again. Otherwise, the pump will stay off for the whole week. And this is something you'll learn right away. So let's say you have a pool party and you really don't want the pool running because the equipment's loud, making a lot of noise or whatever. Then you hit the off button or the start stop button and the pump's off. But if you don't hit that button again, the pump's going to stay off all week. And this is for all the variable speed pumps out there that are standalone. You'll have to turn them on again if you turn it off. So just be aware of that. You might turn it off to empty the pump basket, and then you get busy and forget to turn it back on. It's not going to go back into its weekly cycle. So just be aware of the on-off feature if it's a standalone. If it's attached to an automated system, then that will supersede the controller, and you don't have to worry about that unless you put it in service mode on your automatic panel. But basically, the on-off button is something that you're going to learn right away is a factor. And I've been to many accounts where the customer keeps turning the pump off because they're using their pool on the weekends and they don't turn it back on. And so it becomes an issue. The next thing I think that a lot of pumps have the ability to do is priming time and priming speed. And most people don't mess with this, but I really like to adjust the priming speed and the priming time down if I need to, or up in some cases, depending on the pump type. For instance, if you have a Pentair IntelliFlow, I really like priming that at the full 3450, and I like the priming time to be 3 to 4 minutes because those seem to struggle to prime sometimes. They shut off if there's air in the pump basket. So if there's an automatic cleaner, you know, if there's something that gets air in there, or if you take the pump basket off, pump lid off to clean the basket, and you don't have the high enough prime time set on the IntelliFlow, it may go into alarm mode. It may not prime up. So for that particular pump, I leave that one at full speed and I increase the priming time so that I know that it's bulletproof, is going to prime and it's going to pull the water into the pump. But that is, of course, an exception to my rule. And typically, like for instance, I have a SuperFlow on one account that is 1.5-inch plumbing. It's got really small 3/4-inch return lines. And I don't have that thing priming at 3450. And by the way, 3450 is the full speed of the pump. That's the same speed that a standard pump runs at. And so for an industry standard, they've kept that 3450 RPM as a high. And also maybe on your pump, it just says 100%. And that's 3450 RPMs. So I don't like priming at that speed, especially this account doesn't need it. Again, it has 1.5-inch plumbing and 3/4-inch return lines. And the video that I filmed on this one, I get hassled all the time. They're like, hey, why don't you change to 2-inch plumbing? It's better flow. Well, the return lines are 3/4-inch, so it's like there's no flow going to the pool anyway. So 1.5-inch plumbing is perfectly fine for this pool. And it certainly doesn't need to be primed at 3450 RPMs. Because it is a bigger horsepower pump than it was there previously. It was a 1 horsepower, and now it's a 1.5 horsepower SuperFlow VS. And so I have the priming speed down to 2800 RPMs, and it's perfectly fine. And I have it priming for 2 minutes, which is perfectly fine for this particular pool. My own personal pool, I have a Jacuzzi, I have a Jandy variable speed pump, 3 horsepower, and I had the priming speed at 2800 RPMs also, because I don't need my pool primed at that full RPMs. You know, I have a 450 square foot cartridge filter and it primes perfectly fine at 2800. It's less noisy and it's less irritating. My pool primes for 2 minutes also. And so the priming speed is something that you may want to look at, especially if you, you know, don't need that full 3450 RPMs. You may need it, you probably don't need it. And so I like reducing the priming speed on the variable speed pumps just for the fact that they're really loud when they prime up. And it's unnecessary in a lot of cases to get that 3450 RPM going to prime up the pump, because the water is still in the pump pot or the wet end and it's just going to start automatically. So let's talk about the speeds real quick. And basically the default speeds probably aren't going to work for you. And I really just like using 2 speeds when I do a variable speed pump programming. It makes it easier for me to know, you know, what the pool's running at. And it's easier for the customer to know when their pool's coming on. You know, some people put like 4 speeds in there. And to me, that's overkill. And that makes it hard to know when the pump is running at a certain speed. So 2 speeds are perfectly fine. You know, the 2-speed pumps have been around forever. And or the dual speed or 2-speed pumps, however you want to refer to them as. And so they ran at 3450 RPMs. And then they ran at like 900 or 1100 RPMs, which is extremely low. So first off, your low RPMs, you know, I would, even if you're programming a pump, I would definitely set the default low RPM at 1500 or 1400 RPMs. And then the default high, I would still leave at 3450, because if you have an attached spa or if you want to run your pool, you know, maybe you're heating it and you want to run at the full speed, it's good to have that available. So I don't mess with the high speed, but on the low end, I don't want anyone to set the pump lower than 1400 RPMs, because then the water is not moving at all. And it's kind of useless to be at that RPM anyway, because you're not really saving a lot of money and the water's just not moving in the pool. So my minimum RPM is 1800. And I do this for a couple of reasons. One, most saltwater generators won't activate under 1800 RPMs. And so it's good to have it at a low speed when the salt, and keep the salt water generator off if you need it off, and then have one higher speed. Now the higher speed is determined by your pool size, by if you have an automatic suction side cleaner or pressure cleaner in the pool. And so this is a factor when you're setting the high speed on your variable speed pump. For example, if you have a suction side cleaner, you may have to run your high speed at 2600 RPMs to kind of get that moving. And it's really one of those things where it's just based on your size of your pool again and what kind of cleaner you have in there. For me, I use a robotic pool cleaner, so I keep my high speed at 2300 RPMs and I run it for about 6 hours in the summer. And then I keep my low speed at 1800 RPMs and I run that for about 8 to 10 hours in the summertime. I have a 14,000 gallon pool, and basically it's pretty simple to calculate the low speed. If you had a single speed pump and it was you know, at 3450 RPMs and you had it running for 8 hours a day and you, and that kept your pool looking really well, then you can easily do the math. If you're going to run just a low speed to kind of match that 8 hour runtime, that means that you would run your pool at 1800 RPMs for 16 hours a day. You kind of see how I did that math. I just kind of doubled it because you cut the speed in half. However, if you have a higher speed at 2400 RPMs, you'll have to kind of redo that math a little bit. And so you can run the lower speed for, let's say, 10 hours or 12 hours instead of 16. And then you would have the higher speed running for, you know, 5 or 6 hours a day, depending on how you want your pool to look. Because at the 1800 RPMs, the surface isn't moving really much. And so your pool may not look clean. There might be dust on top. It may, you know, look kind of dingy. So you may want to run at 2400 RPMs longer. And you may want to increase that if you have a bigger pool to 2600 RPMs or 2800 RPMs. Anything under 3000 RPMs is going to save you a lot of money. So I wouldn't worry about it if you have to run your pool at 2600 RPMs. And most pumps will have, you know, the wattage use displayed on there. And you can refer to that for your, you know, energy cost. But my opinion, if you're running at 1800 RPMs, you're going to save the most money because that's like 130 watts. It's like having one, you know, one or two light bulbs on in your house versus like 18 light bulbs on with this regular pump every hour. So definitely you're going to save a lot of money at a low speed. And that's why I prefer running the low speed for a longer time. And then, of course, you're going to need that high speed, or what I consider high speed, but I guess it's a medium speed in most respects, for a period of time so that the pool kind of looks good and it gets the cleaners moving, you know, if you have a pressure cleaner or a suction cleaner. And also get the skimmer working. I have a Skim Doctor 2.0 in my skimmer to kind of increase that velocity. And so that's one thing you have to also factor in, is how clean your pool looks at the lower speeds. So basically, based on your pool size, you take what you had running before. So if you had a 2-horsepower pump running, you had it for 10 hours a day, kind of do the math and split that up. And of course, you're going to find that your pool pump is running a lot longer. If you're running your 2-horsepower pump for 10 hours a day, you may be running your variable speed pump for 20 hours a day, you know, 10 or 12 hours on a low speed, 8 hours on the medium slash high speed. And so, yeah, you're running longer, but you're only using a fraction of the electricity. You know, that 10 hours runtime versus a 20 hour runtime, you know, 1800 RPMs and 2400 RPMs, that's about 1, maybe 2 hours of energy use on the, if you were to break it up. So I'll just rephrase that. Running your pool 20 hours with a variable speed pump with two low speeds, low and medium speed, versus running your single 2-horsepower pump for 10 hours at high speed, you're basically going to use about 2 hours of energy compared to 10 hours of energy with that 20-hour runtime. So it may be running a lot longer, but using a lot less energy. So it'd be like running your 2-horsepower pump for 2 hours a day, running a variable speed pump with a low medium speed for 20 hours a day. Is running longer? Yes. And they're made to run longer. They're made to run for a long time because you're not really revving up the pump RPMs and using up the pump by, you know, running it a long time. It's like driving 45 miles an hour on the freeway versus 70. The engine's going to last a lot longer and the motor's going to do a lot better. And same thing with the variable speed pump. It's going to last a lot longer running at a lower speed. So don't worry about the runtime. Don't feel like, hey, it's running forever, it's going to cost me a fortune. Not true at all. You're saving a ton of money by running it at lower speeds. And so the question, I think, is do you adjust the speed down in the wintertime versus summer? You're running the pool 20 hours, let's say, in the summertime. In the wintertime, do you need to run 20 hours? You probably don't. And you can adjust it down if you want. You're probably not going to save a huge amount of energy by shaving off 3 or 4 hours, you know, in the runtime here and there. But yeah, definitely will move the needle, I guess, if you want to. I cut my runtime down sometimes if I remember to do it. I usually forget because I don't really mess with my programming and my pump. It's been the same for over a year now. I don't change anything. So basically, it's kind of a set it and forget it. Just set a low speed and then a medium slash high speed, and you're good to go. I don't think you need to run your variable speed pump over 3,000 RPMs. Now, the only exception would be if you have like solar on the roof that you're heating your pool with. Then definitely you're going to need the full 3450 RPMs to get that, you know, to get the water flowing to the solar panels back into the pool. And that's one of the exceptions. If you're heating your pool also with a gas heater, I would run the pool at full 3450 RPMs, or, you know, 3200, whatever, get it over 3100, and the heater's going to work really effectively in heating the pool. And that's one of the only times I would turn up the speed, is to heat the pool up, whether with solar on the roof or with a gas heater. And if you have an automatic cleaner, again, you may have to set it for 2600 RPMs in the high speed to get it moving, maybe 2700, but usually not any higher than that. Sometimes you have to go higher, but there could be a problem with the filtration or with the flow at that point. But the lower speeds work more effectively in saving energy, and it's, you know, it's not going to move the needle by going from 2400 to 2600 RPMs. It's not a huge jump in energy cost. As long as you stay under that threshold of 3100 RPMs or 3000 RPMs, you'll do fine. You're going to save money regardless, because the variable speed pump is designed to save you money. It's not running at full speed. And you certainly don't want to just set it at 3450 RPMs. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you have a variable speed pump if you're not going to utilize the energy savings of that pump? And if you're looking for other resources or other podcasts, you can go to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. And to find other podcasts, you can go to the banner. On the banner, click on the podcast icon, and that'll bring you to a podcast indexing site. And if you're in the industry, you want to enhance your business, definitely check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. A lot of great benefits for joining there, including a discount on your general liability insurance. Again, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Yeah! Real quick. If you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.